I want to start out first, obviously, on this beautiful day that God has made. I want to wish all the mothers of High Point Church. I know we have a lot traveling today. Being a young church, they go to their moms and their parents. And so we want to wish them the greatest time doing that. But I want to thank you guys for coming here this morning and worshiping the Lord together. And I love Proverbs 31:28. If you've read that verse before, I hope you did this morning. It says, in regards to the Proverbs 31 woman, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Kids, did you do that this morning? All right, turn to your moms and say, I love you. And her husband also, and he praises her. That should be 365 days out of the year. I know Mother's Day can also be a hard day for moms that maybe grew up with hard moms, and maybe your mom's not here anymore because she's passed away. I think of my own wife whose mother passed away, and sometimes this is a hard day. And if you desire to be married and desire to have kids someday, this is kind of a day to think about that as well. But I still want to recognize the day. We're so blessed to have many godly women in this church to both emulate, to encourage as they follow Jesus. So happy Mother's Day. Amen? Amen. All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as we come to a passage that is just really, I love, and I'll explain why. But if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as we continue our series through this great letter that Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Starting in verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, and without raising any questions on the ground of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therefore, or thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you for dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you, without raising questions on the grounds of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered as a sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with the thankfulness, why am I denounced because for which I give thanks? So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or the Greeks or the church. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's God's word that Paul penned by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the business world that I was part of for some 20 years before God called me into ministry, oftentimes the business world is all about self-promotion. How can I get higher and higher up the ladder at anybody's expense? At least that's what it was like when I was in business. With that comes a lot of ugliness, backbiting. I remember trying to get a promotion at my job at Dun & Bradstreet. It was between me and this person. I mean, I thought I had a chance. Later on, I found out that during one of our presentations, this person was making fun of me. See, we had had a previous conversation, and I was joking around, and we were talking about how when you do a presentation, you bring hors d'oeuvres. And I jokingly said, "You mean hors d'oeuvres?" Now, listen, if you know how to spell hors d'oeuvres, you see what I'm talking about there. I was kidding around. No one's laughing. You got to go to your dictionaries and look up the word. You will know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, she went to this presentation. She said, "Ha, this Greg thinks it's not called hors d'oeuvres. He thinks it's called hors d'oeuvres." And this person came back to me and said, "Man, she was really ripping on you." I remember thinking, wow, I just totally got nailed there. I didn't get the job. Doing whatever it takes to be happy can often be at the expense of others. Self-promotion is nowhere in the Bible. Self-esteem is not the problem. The Bible does say, love your neighbors as yourself. See, there is an assumption that you already love yourself. The question is do you love others as much as you love yourself? See, because of our sin nature, we are all led into situations every single day. See, a mom is taking care of her kids. Because of our sin nature, every day, every one of us are put in a situation where we can either promote ourselves or love others. This is what's going on with Paul in the Corinthian church. He's trying to help them understand that it's not all about you. See, when you follow Jesus, you desire to please Him above yourself. And when you do that, persecution will come. They will come from family. They will come from friends, co-workers, maybe even your spouse. But it will come. See, the temptation is always, because of our sin nature and because of self-promotion that's going on, is to go back to the lifestyle that brought you temporary satisfaction. Easy things that you can do that will please you. See, the Christian church in Corinth, they were given the kind of mantra that they lived by, the moniker they lived by was, all things are beneficial. All things are lawful. If it pleases you, do it. And so can you imagine in the Corinthian church, living for Christ, understanding Christ is not about self-promotion, it's about loving others, and yet everyone around you is still doing that? The temptation is to go back. Because of persecution, because of what the world tells you where joy is. This is where the Christ followers were at in Corinth. This is where maybe some of you are at. I think Paul starts out the phrase in 1 Corinthians 10. It's a phrase that we're familiar with because we remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul uses the phrase again. Let me remind you, in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved to nothing. See, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is saying, with this sort of attitude of self-promotion, it could lead to sin, and specifically sexual sin. That's what the Corinthians were struggling with. They were struggling with being very sexually charged. It was a town of 1,000 prostitutes. And so that living in that kind of lifestyle, all things are beneficial, could very well lead to sin. That's what 1 Corinthians 6 says. So we hear this phrase. Now Paul brings it back in 1 Corinthians 10, but it's not in regards to sin. He uses the phrase in regards to just living a life as a Christian. See, all things are lawful to me can lead a Christian to be able to go back to a lifestyle that continues to promote themselves. This morning, as I look at this chapter, or at least these verses this morning, I want you to see that Paul's main context, the main pivot verse, is found in verse 31. I want you to go there as you look at your Bibles or look up on the screen. Look at verse 31 with me as I draw in the context that Paul's trying to say. Listen, he says, all things are beneficial, but do they glorify God? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's Paul's magnum opus. If you were to summarize chapters 8 through 10 that we have just gone over the last few months, this would be the pinnacle of the verses. When you wake up in the morning, as you go to work, as you involve yourself in the community, the question you have to ask yourself, Paul is saying, is what you're going to do today going to make Jesus famous? Is what you're going to do today going to make Jesus famous or you? That's what Paul brings out in these chapters. Do you guys realize that someday in heaven, it will all be about Jesus? You know, right now should be a picture of our worship to Jesus. But someday, without the sin, we are going to worship Jesus in His full glory. Look at Revelation with me. I just want you to see a glimpse of this. In Revelation 4, it says, the 24 elders will fall down before Him, who is seated on the throne, and will worship Him, whose lives forever and ever. They will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things. And by Your will, they existed and were created. Listen, there will be much worship. We will glorify God with much worship. But what Paul is saying right now is you can do it today through your lives. The word glory that Paul talks about, it really means the intrinsic worth or inherent worth. It basically means that which you value. Okay? So that which you glorify, that which you love, will receive glory. God is glorious, the Bible says. Intrinsically, He is permanently glorious. There is nothing we can do that can add to His glory. All we can do is live lives that give Him glory. Does that make sense? He's already glorious. But the question is He glorious to you? Paul wants to make the aim of these verses to say, listen, whatever you're going to do, make Jesus famous. You know, that's something I've said here on the pulpit, and I believe because the Bible continually says it. You want to simplify your life? You want to know what God's will is in your life? It's really this simple. Make Jesus famous. It starts out by first knowing Him, by His sacrifice for you, and then it goes on for the rest of your life until He calls you home. Pretty simple, right? Okay, so let's take a look. I see five things, and I promise they'll be quick. On a Mother's Day, I want you to go home, hang out with your wives. But listen to me. There are five things that I believe that God wants us to know this morning that will absolutely point to us giving God glory, to reflect the character of God in our lives by, in turn, giving God glory through our lives. Let's look at them. First thing I see. found in verse 23. Be helpful and build people up. You want to give God glory? You want to make Jesus famous? The Bible says be helpful to people and build them up. Look at the verse 23 with me. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Paul's saying, listen, you can do what you want, but the question is, are you being helpful and are you building up? Because even though you can do what you want, God wants you to make him famous. The word helpful there literally means profitability. Some of your translation says profit or bringing things together. I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, my parents would make us do dishes for a whole week. Yeah, the whole week. And I'm a family of seven. Okay? So my parents would make us four boys do dishes for a whole week. We had to clean the table off. We had to do the dishes, load the dishes. And let me just tell you, our dishwasher was about this big. Like you could fit a bowl and a little bit of silverware in it. You had to wash everything else. So when it was your week, you prayed mom wouldn't make anything. But man, when it was my brother's week, I wanted all the great meals. Spaghetti with all the fixings. I mean, I wanted her to go overboard, and we would just laugh at each other. You have to do dishes. You have to do dishes. I remember when my parents sometimes, when it wasn't my week to do dishes, would say, I need you to help your brother. What? They didn't help me. Are you kidding me? Are you helpful? Are you helpful when it's your turn? See, what Paul's addressing here is, are you helpful when it's not your turn? To glorify God means to be helpful, not a whiner. I love to whine. It's not waiting until it's your turn to do something. Paul says it's profitable. It's not profitable to you, it's profitable to the people you're serving. So for me to help my brothers would have been very profitable for them, but I didn't want to do it. You want to glorify God? Be helpful when it's not your turn. Paul also says be helpful, but he also says build people up. Some of your translations may say edify. Literally the word, the build up, literally means to help someone grow. Help them to spiritually grow. How do you help someone spiritually grow? How do you glorify God? What does the Bible tell us on how we should help people grow or to build them up? Well, let me tell you. The Bible says that we can help build people up by giving them the Word of God. Look at Acts 20, verse 32. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Listen, you want to build people up? You want to see them spiritually grow? Share God's word with people. Who are you sharing God's word with people? Your family? Your friends? We build people up by giving them God's word. We build people up by loving them. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, the very start of the context of these next three chapters from 8, 9, and 10. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Same word, edifies. You want to make Jesus famous? Build people up. Love them. How do you love somebody who's unlovely? Well, I guess you kind of need Jesus' help with that one, right? Isn't Jesus the perfect example of this? Looking out for others, doing something that wasn't his responsibility, loving people that are unlovely. Listen, if you want to make Jesus famous, start to be helpful when it's not your turn. Start to build people up that God puts around you with his word and by loving them. The next thing that I see, it's found in verse 24. Not only be helpful, not only build people up, but also be selfless. You want to make Jesus famous? Be selfless. Look at verse 24. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Paul says the very same thing, actually, in the church in Philippi. Look at verse in Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, so there is a sense in which you are, but you are also looking to the interests of others. How do you do this? Have the mind among yourselves which is in yours in Christ. How do you become selfless? You follow the one who absolutely demonstrated Jesus Christ. Don't have motives by which to love people. Don't do something for someone with an expectation. The Bible says, be selfless. You want to make Jesus famous? Paul says, start to think about others' interests. You know, I think about my own wife, and I think about all the things she does at home. And I think, wow, how often do I go home thinking and expecting something because I've worked all day? If I'm going to glorify Jesus, if I'm going to make him famous in my house, I need to start walking home with her mind, what she's doing of interest to me. How can I help her today? How can I bless the kids today? I mean, I got so much to work on. Let's just skip this. Let's move. Listen, do you want to make Jesus famous? I mean, let's set aside all the garbage for real. Do we want to make Jesus famous? Because I'm telling you, we're living in a world that wants to self-promote ourselves. And as Christians, we have this really, really big struggle. Because ultimately in life, to get ahead, you have to self-promote yourself. I mean, how does it contradict Scripture? That's all I'm saying, is I want to have a mind that's set on Christ. How do I balance both work and glorifying God? Maybe there's some things you're just going to have to. I remember working at Wells Fargo, and there were times when I would just struggle because I knew if I didn't kind of push the debit cards that people didn't need, that I wasn't going to advance in the company. There's a battle. What are you battling at work? What are you battling at home? Listen, go in praying, reading God's word before you get to work, saying, God, how can I make you famous? Maybe some of you, it's quitting your job and getting a different one. Because you cannot possibly glorify God where you're at. I don't know. But be open to what God wants you to do, because his ultimate aim for you is to make him famous. Let's move on. Not only be helpful, not only build people up, not only be selfless, But look at verses 27 through 30. Be winsome. Paul says here, he says, if one of an unbeliever invites you to dinner and you're disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising questions on the grounds of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered to sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who's informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but the one who brought it up in a sense. For why should my liberty be dependent on someone else's conscience? For if I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So here, you want to make Jesus famous? Be a winsome person. What does that mean? That means when someone doesn't know Christ and they invite you over for dinner, don't talk about all the things you can and can't do as a Christian. Be winsome. You know, it's funny, as Jesus was criticized because he hung out with what? With tax collectors and drunkards and sinners. They called Jesus a drunkard. Why? Because of who he associated with. It doesn't matter. Listen, Jesus went because he was winsome. Because his ultimate objective was to see people come to Christ. Are you winsome? Are you a stick in the mud? Jesus says, be winsome. Paul says, be winsome to unbelievers. And I think part of this winsome is, listen, what Paul is saying is they were going to dinner with unbelievers, and there would be another couple, a Christian couple with them, and meat would be set in front of them that was offered to idols, and the Christian would start, I can just imagine Paul was getting these letters and just wanting to pull his hair out. He's like, gah! So there would be Christians going to this unbeliever's house, and what would they be doing? They'd be arguing. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Don't eat this. Paul's saying, be winsome. Christians, when we go over and we have dinner with unbelievers, it's not our opportunity to tell people all the things you can and can't do. Why don't you just share the gospel and the hope that's found in the gospel? Paul's saying, be winsome. Look at verses 32 and 33. Along with being winsome, you become a witness. You want to glorify God, be winsome. Try and win people to Jesus, like Paul says. And then he says, be a witness to people. Look at verse 32 to 33. Give no offense to the Jews or the Greeks, those are unbelievers, or to the church. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Give no offense, Paul says, carries the meaning of being a stumbling block. Are you a stumbling block to unbelievers? And are you a stumbling block to believers? Think about that. The Jews, the Greeks, the church. It's not all about you. It's about them. You want to glorify God. You be a witness of God's saving and changing power in your life. Listen, we have our reward, don't we? Listen, I think oftentimes we argue and we bicker, even as Christians, because we forget what we have in Christ. We have everything we need. Salvation. Eternal life. We have our reward, right? Listen, work hard at what you do. Work hard. But do it for the glory of God. It's so easy to pretend, isn't it? It's so easy to play the game, the spiritual games. Paul saw it. He saw it happening in the Corinthian church. They were allowing the arrogancy, the pride to come in. They had their reward in salvation, but they also wanted the world. Listen to me. The unbelieving world can see a fake. They can see the difference. They are watching and have been watching for a long time. Paul is saying, listen, you want to make Jesus famous where you're at? Be helpful. Be helpful. Be selfless. Be winsome. Be a witness. Do it all for the glory of God. And then finally, I promise, the last one. You want to make Jesus famous? Mimic those who follow Jesus. Look at verse 11:1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. The word imitator is where we get the word mimic. It's kind of like a mime. You want to make Jesus famous? The question is who do you follow? Who's your heroes? Men and women who make lots of money, have lots of power. Listen, the Corinthian church saw the best of the best. They came through the Corinthian society. They saw the greatest speakers, the greatest entertainers, the greatest athletes. It so mirrors our society. They saw all these people. And Paul's saying, who do you follow? Because that who you follow, you're going to try and be like. Paul says, be like him as he follows Christ. You want to honor God? Evaluate who you hang out with. Or maybe you need to be someone that could be hung out with. In conclusion, as we look at all these, be helpful, build people up, be selfless, be winsome, be a witness, mimic others. You know what's funny is that God gives us this hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. You look at all those people in the hall of faith. I think of Abraham, I think of Moses, I think of the prostitute Rahab. And I look at them and I see that their desire was to make Jesus famous. That's why they're in the hall of faith. Abraham, when he had an opportunity to choose different lands between him and Lot, you remember the story back in Genesis 13? Abraham said, okay, Lot, you pick. Which one do you want first? He looked at others before himself, before his interest. He could have done that. He was God's chosen one. Yet he looked at Lot and says, you get a pick first. God blessed that. Moses, you know, just look at Hebrews chapter 11 real quick, 24 and 26, in regards to Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Rahab, the prostitute, in Hebrews 11, 31, we see, by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given friendly welcome to spies. How do we do this, people? Church at High Point, how do we make Jesus famous? Look at Hebrews 12 as we close. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and sin which clings to us closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You want to honor Jesus? You want to make Jesus famous by the Holy Spirit's leading, reflect Jesus' life. Make him famous by following him. And you will find joy on top of joy on top of joy. I didn't say you wouldn't be persecuted. I just said you'll have joy on top of joy on top of joy. High Point Church, my prayer is that we would make Jesus famous. As Paul says, whether I eat or drink, whatever I do, I want to do it to the glory of God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. Without your saving work, Jesus, we would be a hopeless people. We'd be a hopeless group of believers. And yet, Lord, I know in a crowd like this, not every single person in this room has truly trusted you as Savior. They are absolutely still holding on to whatever they believe is going to get them to heaven. My prayer, Lord, is that you would break their hearts. You would cause them to repent. That they would see that their sin has separated them from a holy God, a glorious God, of one of inherent glory, permanently fixed. Jesus, you deserve glory. You deserve glory by us believing you and trusting you. I pray for that person today, that they would lay aside their religion and put their trust in Jesus Christ alone. That they would begin to see that that is how you truly make him famous, by believing him and trusting him. And then for us that have known him for any length of time, let us reevaluate our lives and ask ourselves, are we making you famous, Jesus? Cause us to think through these things. Cause us to find our joy in you. To your glory, Jesus. Amen.